Good evening. It is great to see everyone once again. Thank you for choosing to be here tonight. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 139. I waited just so that we finish this out with you. Psalm 139. Now, there was something I neglected this morning that I'd like to take care of, mostly because if I don't, there's a young boy who is probably going to smack me afterwards. Today is his mom's birthday. Wednesday is his mom's birthday. Somebody else has a birthday today, I'm sorry. So we'll start with today. Dana Cown is 65 today. She announced this morning that she is Medicare approved. She said it, not me. I'm just going to repeat her. But make sure that you please wish Dana a happy birthday for today. And I'm sorry, Dana, that I neglected to announce that. I would also tell you, for two reasons, keep Mark in your prayers. Number one, Dana is his wife. Number two, though, Mark has not been well. He has got, they don't even know. I don't think they have a clue. But he's been running a fever. He has not felt the best. He's been pretty weak. He's got a rash that's kind of everywhere. And just might keep him in your prayers. And hopefully the doctors have done a lot of testing already, but hopefully they'll get figured out what's going on with him. But please keep him in your prayers. As for the rest of the birthdays this week, Audra has a birthday on Wednesday, as well as Caitlin Buck, and Laura Pierce has a birthday on Friday. So make sure that you keep, wish all of them a happy birthday. Continue to keep Sister Laura in your prayers. Her address is on the back table here if you'd like to write her a card, and wish her a happy birthday as well. I know there were several last week who did that for us, and so appreciate that much. Psalm 139, we're going to finish this up this evening. We began this a few weeks ago looking at three things with God. First of all, in verses 1 through 6, we see that God is all-knowing or omniscient. He's all-knowing. And the fact that you start off with, Lord, you have searched me and known me. That's an incredible thing that I hope we take into account when we think about God and His provision and how He provides for us. That first of all, it's not just some wild guess situation. God knows us. That He is all-knowing. He knows each one of us. In fact, we even talked this morning there in Matthew chapter 10 about the fact that the hairs on our head are numbered and that God knows who we are. Okay, He knows all of us individually. He knows us very, very well. We'll look more at that again this evening once we get into our lesson. Next, in verses 7 through 12, we see that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere, all over the place. In fact, David here, this is the psalmist, and he says in verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I were to ascend into heaven, well, yeah, you're there because that's your home. But if I were to go even into the depths, you are there as well. You're there at all times, in every place. There's not a place that we can go to get away from God. We can't escape Him. People try. And a lot of times we think, well, there are, you know, billions of people on the face of the earth. How would God know me? Well, that's how incredible each one of us is that God knows us. He knows everyone. Is that's the type of God that He is. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere. God is not anywhere. We cannot go anywhere that He is not there. Can't hide from Him. And tonight, we look at number three, that He is all-powerful. We look at His omnipotence in verses 13 through 18. I know it's 24 verses. We'll get to the other 20. We'll get to the rest of it and go all the way through verse 24. But in verses 13 through 18 is where we're going to start this evening and focus on God being all-powerful. Verses 13 and 14 are verses that we've looked at with each lesson. But here we'll start with verse 13, where David is the psalmist, and he writes, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." I want you to think of how incredible these few verses are. You formed my inward parts. You know, you think about the makeup of the human body. And you think about all the different systems that we have, from our neurological system and all the nerves that we have. You think about our digestive system and the digestive tract and everything that goes into it. Our bone structure, muscle structure, all that we see in the human body and how our bodies are made. God is the one. He's the designer behind it all. It is not by some chance, some accident, that you and I look the way that we do, that we are formed and made the way that we are. We have the greatest designer who created us. David here writes, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." There are a couple of things that I want us to notice right off the bat in these verses. Number one, he created me. He created me. I'm not some fluke, not some accident. But number two, then that he cares for me. That's what we see here, is that with God being all powerful, it is him that created us, but also a result of all of that, we see that God is the one who cares for us. You put me in my mother's womb. I can think of nowhere safer. I've been able to be privileged to have three children, and I have watched all three of them be born. And you know what happens when they come out of there? They want to go back in. Mom is warm. Mom is a source of comfort. Mom is incredible. And ladies, I will tell you, we've talked about this before. It is mind-blowing what you're able to do and how you're able to handle that pain. And instead of, as soon as that child is being born, you don't yell at them and scream at them. Instead, you can't wait to hold them and get them close to you. It's incredible. When we think about being fearfully, wonderfully made, it means that God put great care and he took that time to be able to form all of us. In places like Jeremiah chapter 1, if you notice there in verse number 5, we think about Jeremiah and God speaking to him, calling to be him to be his prophet. There in verse number 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And he goes on to say, "Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart, ordained you a prophet to the nations." Does that mean he took away Jeremiah's free will? Absolutely not. Look at chapter 20 and verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 9. We think about that free will that he would have had. Just because God knows how it's going to turn out and who we're going to turn out to be, we think about him being that great and all-knowing, all-powerful God. Just because he knows, does he know I was going to sin? Yeah, he sure did. Did that mean he caused me to? No. Did Jeremiah have a choice whether or not he would be a prophet? Yeah, he certainly did. Absolutely he did. In fact, he got to that point here in Jeremiah chapter 20. He was sick and tired of hearing about God. He was sick and tired of the children of Israel. They were so mean to him. He said, "I'm a derision daily. They put me down every single day. It's like my name is foul language to these people. They can't stand me." Look at verse 9. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I was a reproach and a derision daily." The end of verse number 8. But he said, "But." Notice here in verse 9, the middle, "His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not do it." I couldn't do it. God says to Jeremiah, "Before I even formed you in the womb, I knew you.
that you would be set apart in service to me, that you would be a prophet for me.
I knew you, Jeremiah. The incredible thing is, he's saying the same thing, or could say the same thing to each one of us. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I knew that you would be what you could be for me in this life. That you could be, Corey, a guy who wants to go work at Lowe's for a while, wants to take all of these bad roads and everything else, and now you stand before people and proclaim my word. You finally wisened up. Took me a while. I get there. Sometimes I'm slow. I go through the school of hard knocks. But you know, he knew me. He knew me. He formed me. He put me in the safest place that he could. Inside of my mother's womb. Go back to Psalm 139. I'm fearfully, David says, fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, and that my soul knows very well. Now, he may have formed me physically, but I have that part of him, according to Genesis 1 and verse 26, that I am created, made in his image. You know that this right here houses the most important thing in this world, and that's my soul. And that's what he covered me in. He gave me the greatest part of me, his image, so that I could spend eternity with him. He formed me. He made me to be able to house the most important part. And he made each one of us the same way. We have God. We are made in the image of God. We can live for him in this life to live with him in the next. It's incredible. Fearfully, wonderfully made. God says, even before I formed you, I knew you. In verse 15, he says, Psalm 139, my frame was not hidden from you. You know, we have got these really neat things now, all this technology, that I know it's gone even farther than what it was when we had our three kids. But we could go in and we could get a sonogram. And they would put this petroleum jelly or whatever it is on my wife's belly. Take this thing, and they would move it around, and I could hear heartbeat, and then I could see a form. It was, I think, Gavin. If I'm wrong, you can correct me, and you will later. It's okay. He has hand up like this, like he was waving. Like, I know you're looking at me. Hi. You know, without that, I would never know. But you know who would? God. You know, he can see you. Even before you're born, he saw you, each of you, before your parents did. And I think about that because what it tells me is this is that care that he has, is that he got to see you. He got to see you for who you are. That person who holds a piece of him inside of you, made in his image, that he knows. Even here in verse 15, my frame was not hidden when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought. You know, they have these things now called pregnancy tests. And I will never forget sitting in a Lowe's parking lot on break and my wife pulls in. And I looked over like it was not normal. We lived in Nixa. I worked in Republic. She was on her way to Aurora to see her parents. And she pulls up and she hands me this little package. Inside of that package is a pregnancy test. You know, until that moment, I didn't know that she was pregnant, but you know who did? God knew. God knew that there was a baby inside of her, a child that had been conceived inside of her, and until that test, I had no idea. He did. It's incredible to think about the great care that God has. The fact that he is all-powerful, able to take two of the smallest things from the male and the female that you'd have to see with a very high-powered microscope to even see it. But God sees it, and he knows. He knows. Those things done in secret, meaning that they're not open to everybody else until we let them know or she begins to show, right? He already knew the instant that it happened, the instant that it took place. He continues in verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed.
You saw that egg that was fertilized. You saw conception. Something that we would again have to look through a microscope to be able to see, he saw.
In your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. You already knew what my life was going to be like, and I hadn't lived a single day yet. You know my life. I may not. Sometimes I wish that I could know the, as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story, right? I would love to know it. But you know, I do know, if I remain faithful to God, what my eternal destination is, and what that looks like. How incredible that is to be able to say. When you think about the fact that he created us, number one, but then you notice in verse 17, here's the care. Notice how he says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. Your thoughts to me. Here are your thoughts and what you think of me. They are greater than the sand in the desert. They are greater than the sand on the seashore. That I could begin to count them and I would never be able to do so. Because that's how much you care for me. That's how much you think of me. That's how much you've thought of me. Even before I was formed in my mother's womb. That's fearfully, wonderfully made. That we have an almighty God who thought about us enough before the foundation of the world to put a plan in place that I would be able to live with him. You understand? That he knew that he was going to send the eternal word. That he would become Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That he would send him to die on a cross so that you and I could go to heaven. That's fearfully, wonderfully made. That's a God who thought about us. That's a God who went out of his way to make sure you and I would be okay. That's what it is to be formed and covered. That's what it is to be created and cared for. Because that's what God did for each one of us. You know, it always makes me happy to think these type of thoughts. When things go tough and get rough in our lives, to remember how much God cares for us. If I could count them, they'd be more in number than the sand. Notice when I'm awake, I'm still with you. You know, we go to sleep, not God. He's keeping watch at all times. He's thinking about us at all times. Wants the best for us at all times. That's all he ever wants in our lives, is the absolute best for us. He's with us. In verses 19 through 24, the psalmist is going to make a request. He says, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I counted them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. These requests. Number one, there are two things that he requests in here. Number one, that God would save him. Verses 19 through 22. That God would be with him. God, you are all-knowing, you are everywhere, you are all-powerful. You have done everything for us to make sure that we are taken care of. Here he says, will you not protect me? Be there for me, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. Those that would not be able to overtake because of the power of God. He wants that God would save him. And the second thing is, if you look at verses 23 and 24, what the psalmist, what David asks, search me, try me. Look at my heart and see that my attitude toward you is upright, that it's sincere, that it's honest. That I want nothing but to be protected by you. That I want to be with you. That I want you with me at all times. Search me and try me.
See if there's any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way of righteousness. If there's any wicked way in me, I don't want to go that direction. You know, we've talked the last few weeks, at, not only here last week in our lessons, but also at Bible camp, we looked at Job, that he was blameless and he was upright, that he was one who feared God and shunned evil. Job 1 and verse 1, 2 and verse 3. He shunned evil. That's what the psalmist says, what David is saying, that I would shun evil. If there's anything wicked in my ways, let's get rid of those. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me to everlasting life, not everlasting condemnation. I love Psalm 139. I love Psalm 139 because it gives us such a vivid picture of God, the fact that He is omni-everything, that He is all-knowing, that He is all places, that He is all-powerful, and that He is all of those things in our lives. That what He desires for us is the absolute best at all times. That there is not anything in our life that can go wrong or go on that we can't turn to Him, that we can't reach for Him. You think about Paul in Acts chapter 17. He's standing on Mars Hill, the Areopagus, speaking to those Greeks, and he tells them that God is not far from us, though we grow for Him. He's near. He's right there. That this is a God that we can know. This is a God who desires the absolute best for us, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And he gives a mini version of Psalm 139 to demonstrate just how powerful the God that you have a statue to, the unknown God, I'm going to tell you about Him. He's the one who created all things. And He is the one that is right there next to us, near to us, that we can actually feel and see, not some pipe dream that you have with all of these other gods. He's God, the creator of the universe, the one who loves us so much that He knew us before we were even born, before we were even conceived and formed. God knew us. He wanted the absolute best for us. And in my life, there's not a situation that He's not a part of. He's right there, that I can reach out to Him exactly the way that David did. Those that would seek to do harm, those that would seek bloodshed, they can't stand against God. God is more powerful. God is all powerful. What's He look like in your life? Is He all powerful in your life? You reach for Him? You talk to Him? You have that type of relationship with Him? Do you understand just how powerful truly God is? And the fact that He cannot be overcome? The fact that no one will be able to overcome Him? When you think about God and you look at this picture of Him, I hope that Psalm 139 is one that you pull up and you read often. It's 24 verses. It's not very long. Take you about a minute and a half. And you can get right through it. But you get to see painted before your very eyes how powerful God is. How much He desires to be in your life. And just how much a part of your life He has always been. And maybe we just didn't realize it or acknowledge it. When we think about Psalm 39 and how powerful truly God is that power in our life that will never let us down. Unfortunately, I can tell you about times that I've let people down. God has never done it, never will. What God desires is the absolute best for all of us, and that's an eternal life with Him. That way everlasting that the psalmist ends with here, that David ends with. Lead me in the way everlasting. That path that gets me to heaven is the path that I want You to lead me in. Well, guess what? Through this right here, He does. We think about places like Psalm 119 and 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We sing that song. Do we believe it? Do we live it? Do we allow it to be that path for us? Do we understand that God took great care in each one of our lives, that even before the world began, God had a plan in mind for us? That we could be a child of His and that we could live with Him for all eternity. Again, I would ask you the question, what's that look like in your life today? Maybe this evening you need to become a child of God. Maybe you need to
have that faith that comes by hearing his word, believing in Jesus as the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins, confess his name, be baptized into Christ where his blood washes away your sins. Maybe tonight as a child of God, you think about your life and you read through this psalm and you think, that is not how I allow God to be in my life. That instead I try to show God how my life needs to be and I need to get out of my own way. That I need to allow him to lead me in that way everlasting. That I need to follow his word instead of doing what I want to do. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.